Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night. It is officially game week. We have finally made it to game week. College football season is underway. I know you guys watched some yesterday. Everybody I know watched Florida State, Georgia Tech, which, by the way, I know we'll get to that later. I'm sure we will. But week zero is a great idea, as long as your team's not playing. Now, if your team's playing Furman in week zero, then great. That's fine. You know, you get an easy win and move on. If you are going to play in week zero against a conference opponent and you lose, the college football world is going to just clown on you for an entire week. And that is what's happening to Florida State. It is a nightmare scenario. Nobody else lost this weekend. I know three other teams did, but you get my point. Nobody else lost this weekend. Florida State has to deal with 7 days of the fraud accusations before anybody else can take a loss. So pretty brutal for Florida State. We'll get to that later. But the appetizer of college football was great. It is now, though, game week for everybody else in the sport, including, of course, Ole Miss. We're here to talk about that tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. So this week's going to be kind of weird because we will not be live again until Saturday after the game. Have a remote in Senatobia at Northwest on Tuesday, and then the annual, right before the season begins, College Corner remote in Oxford for the radio show. Please come to both of them if you're in the area, but I know a lot of you guys, the analytics say a lot of you guys are in Oxford. Come by and see. Hey, Dad and I, we're doing the radio show from College Corner in Oxford on Thursday, 3 to 6. Please come see us. Would love to meet you guys and see you guys ahead of the opening weekend. So because of that, I won't be getting home until almost 9 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday, just long drive, you know, post-show, all that stuff. So I will record Tuesday and Thursday's shows on Tuesday and Thursday morning and have them posted for you on Tuesday and Thursday night. And for those of you that listen in podcast form, you'll get it Tuesday and Thursday morning. Everybody else, I'll schedule the video to go quote unquote live at 8. So there will still be a video on Tuesday and Thursday, still be a podcast on Tuesday and Thursday. We're scheduled to visit with Walker Jones on Thursday. And I will do a special edition of the podcast on Friday with that interview, because I think it's going to be really good and interesting having him there ahead of the season, talking about the Grove Collective and all that stuff. So you will get Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday post game, and Sunday live as usual. So a busy week, just not live as much as I'd like to, because again, on the road for the radio show. So anyway, glad you guys are here tonight. We're talking Ole Miss football in this edition of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition, just like every edition of the podcast, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in life, injuries at times are unavoidable. We hope they never happen to you, but sometimes they do. And if one has happened to you, or if you just want to save this number because you think that you might need legal advice down the road, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of your personal injury. Also, small business legal stuff that you need. I know there's a good bit of small business owners in our radio audience for sure. I assume that means there are some here as well. If you need an attorney, DJ Gregory's got you covered there. Also, any contract disputes, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. Again, the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, Saltillo, Mississippi. But if you're anywhere in this state and you need personal injury, small business, or contract dispute legal advice, check him out. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is game week. And I know that this has been the most talked about, anticipated season in probably all of your lifetimes. I mean, Ole Miss hasn't been ranked this high since 1970. I make reference all the time to they haven't had these kind of expectations, true expectations like this, since before my father was born. So this is a highly anticipated season. The excitement is hard to fathom. I mean, just everybody around here talking about Ole Miss football and how good this team can possibly be. Is that like clouding the fact that it is the FCS opponent to open the season? Like, are you guys really jacked up for the game Saturday, for the season to start when it is Furman across the field? You know, I love my Paladins. Literally, there is a Furman poster in screen view right there. See if I can get my angles correct. Yeah, right there. Right there. There's literally a Furman poster in camera view. So this game is actually going to mean a lot to me. I know that's kind of cheesy, but it will. I grew up on Furman football. And now, I mean, I went to college at Ole Miss and had a really great time. My college experience was great. And now I get to cover Ole Miss and Mississippi State and college football as a whole as a career. So, I mean, it's like my world's colliding. So I'm excited just to see Furman on the field at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. But it's Furman. I love my Paladins to death. But, man, I'm having a really hard time. And Richard would call me a wet blanket for this, but I want to know what you guys think too. I'm having a really hard time getting jacked up for this game. I'm excited to see what this team is this season. I'm looking forward to the season and the sheer volume of big games this team is going to play. With great expectations comes great stakes and all that. Like, I'm really excited about covering this and talking about it with you guys and with our radio audience all season long. But, man, I love college football. I absolutely love college football. I love watching college football. The Ole Miss game, the team that I cover the most, is like at the near bottom of the totem pole for me when it comes to games that I'm looking forward to watching this weekend. So let me know if you guys are actually truly excited about this game, or you don't even care. You just want to see this team on the field. You want to see not only Jackson Dart and Trey Harris, but I mean, you want to see the new additions like Princely and Walter Nolan and just kind of all of it come together. Juice Wells, who participated seemingly, if you believe the pictures, fully in the scrimmage. His off-season or training camp black jersey wearing was more precautionary than anything else. I mean, audio is still good. We'll get my camera back. We're back, good to go. Anyway, so you'll get to see all that. I expect the crowd to be quite good, honestly. I think that you guys are going to get pretty close to filling the place up, at least for a half. But I don't know, man. I'm going to try my best to do a post-game show with you guys and talk about what we see on the field. But at the end of the day, it is Furman. But besides that, there's a few things to talk about with this team. And then, of course, we'll get to your comments. One, reportedly, there's been a couple of injuries on the offensive line. Caleb Warren and Jerquan Scott. Now, Scott, I believe his injury was a couple of weeks ago. Could be wrong on the timeline a little bit there, but he did get injured during either a scrimmage or a team portion of camp and possibly could be out for at least a couple of games, depending on the severity of that. Lane Kiffin's meeting with the media tomorrow. We'll see if he offers any timeline. He almost never does, so I don't expect him to do so tomorrow. And also Caleb Warren. So two interior offensive linemen for Ole Miss, two guys that you'd think would give them snaps at center even, going to be out Saturday, it seems, but also could possibly miss a few weeks. Now, there's good spin, and there's negative spin and positive spin. So I'll give you the positive spin first and the negative spin first when it comes to or next when it comes to these two injuries. Again, don't know how long they're going to be out for. Reportedly, there's a chance it's a couple of games, maybe even a little bit longer. But we'll see. Nothing definitive really injury-wise comes out of that program very often. But the positive spin is there's four preseason games for Ole Miss. We've talked about it all offseason. They get to kind of ease their way into 2024 because it's Furman and Middle Tennessee and not Florida and Tennessee to open the season, right? I mean, even Wake Forest, despite it being a Power 5, Power 4 game on the road, Ole Miss should be significantly better than Wake Forest, with or without Caleb Warren or Jerquan Scott or both of them. And then, of course, Georgia Southern after that. They've got time. That's why they didn't rush Juice Wells back. That's why they were cautious with Princely's shoulder. And then Jordan Watkins, I think, is nursing. I think it's like a muscle pull there. I don't know what's going on with my camera. We're just going to have to roll with it. But that's why they were able to be cautious and have this kind of a camp where they really didn't attack too much, because they just didn't have to, because one, that's kind of the new age approach, and two, because it's a schedule that allows them to do so. And also, these guys got a spring together. So luckily for Ole Miss, I mean, all of the portal linemen have missed time during camp. All four of them either were not available at the beginning of camp or have been hurt during camp. So that is, it would be more noteworthy if they did not have a spring together. And they did. They all came in for spring practice, so they've actually had some together. And they've got time to get healthy before Kentucky comes to town. But the lack of ability to have continuity for an extended period of time is noteworthy. It is something to kind of underline a little bit, to wonder, you know, if they struggle a little bit up front in that Kentucky game, you have to wonder if a lack of time being healthy as a unit and playing together impacts their performance at all. Again, they've got plenty of time. They've got four what should be essentially preseason games, games against teams that they are much better than. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of like long-term concern, at least for Scott. I don't really know much about Warren as of this moment, but the Washington transfers are back and practicing after not being there at the beginning of camp. They had a spring together, but still, you got to wonder if the lack of being all healthy together at the same time will impact how quickly they will be ready for the start of the season. Luckily, again, it's Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern. They've got time, but still, that's something to kind of underline and keep an eye on, because, again, all four portal linemen have missed or have been hurt or have missed time in training camp leading up to this this season. So something to keep an eye on there. And finally, before we get to your comments, Chris Kiffin has joined the staff at Ole Miss. Chris Lowe was first on that. It's a familiar name. Obviously, he coached at Ole Miss. He was, I mean, the charges against him were among the dumbest in a long list of dumb that came around the Ole Miss NCAA scandal. Just, I mean, in hindsight, when you read what Chris Kiffin did, quote unquote, what his crimes were compared to what college football is now, I mean, it's laughable when you think about it. But a very well-respected coach in a lot of different ways, has been in the NFL for, more than half a decade, and has come in to coach with his brother and be an analyst on staff. And it's just yet another name, like, in the analyst room and on this staff that is it's just really impressive what they've been able to build staff-wise across the board. I mean, poaching Texas's GM is another thing that happened this offseason. But for analysts, you've got Zach Arnett, who was a head coach for a year, was a good and well-respected defensive coordinator at Mississippi State, and he did an excellent job of stopping Kiffin's offense. So you've got that in your analyst room. You now have Chris Kiffin, who's been working with NFL defensive line groups for years and has great familiarity with Ole Miss and all that stuff as well. But you have an NFL defensive line coach now as an analyst. And then don't forget about Joe Judge. That's a name that I keep going back to and wondering if he might be the most impactful of those three, even because I think that, I mean, we've talked about it a lot here. The return game for Ole Miss has been, frankly, bad, relatively speaking, over the last few years. It's been non-existent. And now they have Bill Belichick's special teams coordinator, like a guy that was Bill Belichick's special teams coordinator for years now on their analyst staff. And I don't know exactly what their roles are going to be relative to coaching, but there's the new rule in place that analysts can now essentially coach as well. It used to not be the case. They used to have to be like just kind of film study guys and behind the scenes. They can coach now. And so having the staff that they have paired with just those three guys as analysts is very unique in college football, frankly. There's no way that it doesn't help at all. Just having those guys on staff is it's very unique. And Chris Kiffin is just another example of what they've built there at Ole Miss from a staff perspective. And also, I imagine, without knowing for sure, but I imagine it's going to be pretty cool for them to coach together. They've done it before, but, you know, Chris and Lane coaching after their father passing is probably going to be a pretty cool experience without, you know, knowing for sure. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. So impressive staff that they've put together. I still think Joe Judge, though, might be the most impactful here because Ole Miss has not had a good return game, and a guy that did return game for Bill Belichick, I have a feeling can help in that regard. So anyway, that's kind of your news of the day. Also, the recent running back commit we talked about, he went off. I mean, absolutely went off for the Baylor school today in their win. That was pretty cool to see on ESPN today. Watched a little bit of that. He is big and he can run, and it's almost like deceptive speed because he is so big and his strides are so long that he doesn't look like he should be outrunning a team that has a bunch of Division One, soon to be Division One players on it. That was impressive. So he commits to Ole Miss and then he puts on a show on national television. I can't imagine you guys did not enjoy seeing that. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. So if you're a Mississippi business and you need any kind of tech in the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. All right, here we go to the comments. Random take, since work kept you busy Thursday night, at some point, Braden Waterman deserves the 38 jersey. Yeah, what a incredible battle that he has. I guess he has won, which is awesome. But I still think that, you know, Pegues was a good choice. He was a very good choice for that. And I like that the jersey's being worn at least for the home games. I think that it needs to be worn. I think the patch should go away. The award should be given to somebody that's going to wear the jersey. That story does not need to go away. It needs to be highlighted, spotlighted, honored. And even though Pegues is not going to wear it on the road, and again, like I said on Thursday, Ole Miss put out the conversation that he had with his dad. Clearly, his jersey number means something to him. So he's going to do patch on the road, but 38 is going to be on the field at home. And I think that matters. And I'm glad that is back, because that's what it needs to be, in my opinion. Bad weekend for some in Ireland. Florida State should be embarrassed. A damning loss for Mike Norvell, too. DJU is a walking trash can. Yeah, you know, look, Georgia Tech won the line of scrimmage against Florida State. A lot of people are talking about how Florida State got bullied by Georgia Tech, and they're not wrong. Georgia Tech shortened that game. They lined up and ran the football right at Florida State, the alleged best defensive line in all of college football, which did not have merit to it at all. But whatever, that's what was said before the game. The best defensive line in college football did get whooped by Georgia Tech up front. Let's be clear about that. However, if the quarterbacks are flipped, Florida State wins. If they're flipped, Florida State wins. If instead of DJ Uiagalelei, they have Grayson McCall, who transferred from Coastal to NC State, they win. There are Kyle McCord, who transferred from Ohio State to Syracuse. They win. They couldn't have gotten him. You know, some people say that they tried. I don't know that for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. If they had Jackson Dart, they win that game. On and on and on. I mean, how many other quarterbacks in college football would have won that game for Florida State? Cam Ward, who's at Miami, he would have won that game. So this reinvention of DJU and Mike Norvell's got it figured out with him, and you know, the high profile nature of his transfer, very clearly was not founded in reality. It's the Shea Patterson example that I talked about last week. The hype that DJU got when he transferred to Florida State was not deserved when you see what he's actually done on the field in college. Mike Norvell called that game scared of his own quarterback. You guys saw all the stats. You saw the game. It's not anything profound. You watched it. Mike Norvell was scared of his quarterback. Would not let him throw the football vertically because he can't do it with accuracy or consistency. So the entire first half, they threw the ball at the line of scrimmage. What's the stat? I will pull it up here. This came from Cole Kubelik. This is unbelievable. 13 of his 19 completions were thrown 5 yards or less downfield. 5 air yards or fewer on 13 of his 19 completions. And basically, all of the other 6 came. For some reason, Georgia Tech decided to like leave the middle of the field open on a crucial drive. I didn't understand that at all. But anyway, those came late. Those came really, really late. It was awful, and Mike Norvell was scared of him. And that's not a championship team. I know that's like a crazy week one overreaction. The playoff is absolutely still within the grasp of Florida State. They can still make it. But what a gross audition that was, and what an awesome win for Georgia Tech. They were scrappy as hell. They got whooped in the opening possession, and then, you know, they toughened up and slowed the game down and ran the football. And Haynes King is, you know, not the most talented quarterback in the world, but he's tough and he's athletic. And, man, that was a fun game. What a perfect introduction to college football that game was. And Florida State, fraud alert. Not alert, fraud exposed. But anyway. You say Ole Miss women's soccer is the worst coach on campus. The tactics are worse than Burrhalter's. I'll take your word for it. What uniforms do I think Ole Miss will wear this weekend? You saw they got the updated Nike Fuse template, which you don't like as much as the current one. You'll go navy, navy, white. Yeah, let's see. Did I save that picture of... I don't think I saved that picture of Juice Wells, but that's... Yeah, I think we got a little insight on that when they did their mock. They did their mock game over the weekend. The numbers on the jerseys I noticed are huge. Am I crazy? I think they're gigantic. But yeah, I think that's the color they're going to go with. I think it's navy, navy, white for the first game. Just ready to see the defensive line play, even though it's an FCS opponent. You just want to see the potential. And unfortunately for my Paladins, I think you are going to see the potential, and you're going to see a lot of guys play too. I think if Princely plays, he'll be limited. I mean, I really don't expect you to get a lot of snaps from, like, if Juice Wells plays, I think it'll be limited because it doesn't have to be anything more than that. In an ideal world, they'll score on all of their first five possessions or whatever and pull all of the starters out. And I mean, you can get a really intimate look at the four-star defensive linemen they signed in last year's high school recruiting class. That's what you want to see in this game. So the only thing I'm really watching for is health. Does everybody get healthy? And then there's a few things. We'll talk about some guys, I'm sure. But post-game, my focus will be injuries. And, like, did they come out sharp, focused, take care of business, and move on? That's really it. If you're looking at, like, schematic things, that they're going to be very vanilla because, of course, they are. And I don't think there's anything rotationally that we can take out of this game, really, because I assume that they're going to just throw a lot of guys out there and protect some people and just kind of see what they got with some guys. And there's just very little. If they do this the right way, if they come out sharp and bury them the way they should right away, there will be very little to take away from this game. But we'll try after the game anyway. So, yeah. You just want to make jokes about Florida State? We can do that. We can absolutely do that. I did not realize that they still truly blame Kirk Herbstreit for them not getting in the playoff last year. Like, they genuinely, truly believe that Kirk Herbstreit, like, influenced that decision, that he is in part at fault for Florida State missing the postseason last year. That's crazy stuff. You don't care if they're playing Bishop Sycamore. You're just glad the Rebs are back. SMU nearly lost too. The ACC is a complete joke. Shame on anyone thinking they get more than one team. Yeah, I got to see Miami first. If Miami gets beat in the swamp, then you really have a joke on your hands. I've kind of talked myself into Clemson competing with and possibly beating Georgia, though. I've talked myself into that. Oh, and really, if you want to make yourself sick tonight, go look at Virginia Tech's schedule. They could steal a bid in this deal. They really could. But, yeah, the early returns on the ACC, not good. I'll give it a full weekend before I think that they are truly only a one-bid conference. But, look, if Miami loses to Florida and Clemson gets beat by Georgia pretty badly, then, well, I mean, what else do you have, you know? I really am scared of Virginia Tech stealing a bid from somebody that actually deserves one. You say SMU will never recover from the death penalty. Anything they do is above expectations. They are getting money pumped into that program from some boosters right now, though. Give it a few years. I think you'd be surprised. This will be the 10-year anniversary of Ole Miss crushing State's playoff hopes. If the season goes chalk up to the Egg Bowl, can State muster the will to seek their revenge? I mean, you know, it's rivalry games and anything can happen in rivalry games. But if the Egg Bowl, if Ole Miss loses the Egg Bowl, considering the talent discrepancy on the rosters, it will be the most, the not the worst loss in program history, but one of them. When do we get a depth chart? Tomorrow. I wouldn't read at all into the depth chart that comes out tomorrow. I mean, not at all. If I set an over-under on how many minutes Kiffin is going to spend putting the depth chart together, I would do over-under 3 minutes. I would not read into it at all. I really wouldn't. The defensive analysts are a low-key coaching staff on their own. Judge working with Micah Davis could be insane. Micah Davis, I mean, if they let Bentley return kicks, which I don't think they should, but if they do, Jordan Watkins, yeah. And you're not kidding about the – if those three guys were on regular staff, you would and should be through the roof about it. They're analysts. So they're on staff anyway. It's incredible what they've put together. It really is. The staff is – this is the strongest – coaching staff Ole Miss has ever had. By far. By far the strongest coaching staff that they've ever had. Saban said FSU was one of the best teams in the country. Didn't say which country. Florida State definitely top two in Ireland. Yeah, for sure. They're definitely silver medalists in Ireland. Lots of opportunities for depth pieces to play, for sure. Got four games and still have a red shirt. Yeah, I think games like this are big for somebody like Aiden Williams. You know, the team we talk a lot about, like Caden Lee, for example, the team seems to really like him. I think that he's got more trust from the coaches than Williams does. But either way, both of those guys, it's big for the two of them. These games are big for the freshmen on the defensive line. These games are big for the guys that are vying for snaps at linebacker. It's just like it's really just like preseason football. I mean, I watched the Saints again today. Like A.T. Perry, he needed these preseason games because there's an opportunity for him to play if he can step up. And the preseason games are there for him to show that, like, you can trust me, right? It's the same thing for those guys, like Aiden Williams. This is a perfect opportunity. I know it's Furman, but for him to show Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. and staff that, hey, you can trust me. I know the game plan. I know where to be. And when you throw me the ball, I will catch it. That kind of stuff. Same thing with these young defensive linemen, et cetera, et cetera. So this game means nothing for Jackson Dart and Harris, knock on wood, any of those guys. All it matters is health. But this is a chance for the young guys and the depth pieces to show that you can rely on them when the lights shine a little bit brighter. Glad to see you, Jerry. Welcome in. Do I have a prediction on who we see first, Austin Simmons or Walker Howard? I think we will see Walker Howard first. I have no idea why I think that. I do know why I think that. He's been longer, been at Ole Miss longer. I think you'll see him first. I do not think whoever comes out first is like an insight onto who's leading QB2. And I know that's weird. That's counterintuitive. Well, the second quarterback to come out is obviously QB2. I don't think they're going to do it like that. Love the troll by Kirk Herbstreit on Florida State. He killed him with kindness, didn't he? Saban and other experts seem to be touting the defensive and offensive line talent lately. You're eager to see what they see. If it's SEC line play, Ole Miss will be intimidating every Saturday. Yeah, Nick Saban has been, I mean, he did it at media days, and he did it again sitting in a pub with Pat McAfee before the game this weekend, that Ole Miss is in the trenches, a team that is formidable now. I've heard, and I mean, you don't have to do the I'm hurt thing. I mean, Lane Kiffin himself has repeatedly praised the defensive line and has called them elite. And I mean, they've got talent that should be. They do. I am still curious about the offensive line, though. How healthy are they? And did these four portal guys come in and elevate their ceiling? Because they needed to elevate their ceiling badly. I like their floor. They have a high floor. There's a lot of experience. You've seen them do it. Ole Miss won 11 games last year with basically all of these guys on the offensive line. But you know as much as I do, they're not winning anything championship or with championship after SEC or national, and that's what they think they can do without improving rather dramatically on the offensive line. So we will see. We won't know until Kentucky, though. We won't know. Well, we can know if they haven't improved before Kentucky, but we won't know how good they are until Kentucky. You're hearing they're going to have a new Realtree helmet to go with blue jerseys. What game do I think that they wear them? Georgia, maybe? Oklahoma would be my guess. I don't know why. I think you go no gimmicks with Georgia. You just no gimmicks there. Mississippi State versus Eastern Kentucky score prediction. I think Jeff Lebby is going to do everything he can to try to run that score up for a lot of reasons. Just, you know, generate excitement, that kind of stuff. I think that he's going to try to run it up like 77-14, something like that. I do think that there's going to be intentional scoring for four quarters. So something like that, 50 to 7, 55, 7, something like that. What's up, June? You okay? Sorry, she was making weird noises. Yeah, something like that. A whole lot to a little. Took the Georgia Tech money line, told a couple of people and got laughed at. They couldn't believe I would bet against GJ. Oh, DJ. Probably, yeah, there you go. Autocorrect fail. Those people are nuts. You expect the new white powder uniforms will be first worn at South Carolina if they do the 12 different combo thing, all white, red at Wake Forest. I agree. What's up, Memphis Rebel? Glad to see you, man. Caden Lee did well in those Powder Puff games last year, helped build some confidence and stats. Exactly. That's kind of what I'm talking about, right? I mean, he did play some in meaningful games, but it wasn't until he showed reliability against the bad teams that they trusted him in bigger roles, for sure. Yes, he did. He looked really good today. Although the Baylor school, I'm not exactly a football expert, but the Baylor school's offensive approach today was pathetic. I mean, there's one point in the game he had seven carries, like late in the second half, he had seven carries for like 149 yards. Just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. Yep, we talked about those injuries to lead the show, my friend. Did your fantasy draft tonight? How soon will Derek Carr be benched for Spencer Rattler? Not unless he gets hurt. Not unless he gets hurt. Heard Caden Lee showed out at the last close scrimmage. Not shocked at all by that. Me either. But on the Spencer Rattler thing, I've said this to you guys a few times, though, but it bears repeating. The more I watch him play, the more ridiculous it is for South Carolina people to think that they are going to be better without him. He's got a lot of growing to do still. He's not ready yet to be a starter in the NFL. He's not ready yet. And that's okay. He shouldn't be ready yet. But his talent and ability is obvious. He's really good. And he was really good for South Carolina each of the last 2 years. The team around him was pathetic. Go back and watch. If you're bored, go back and watch South Carolina, Georgia. My goodness. I mean, he kept that game close by himself. He was exceptional in that game. He really was. His team was awful around him. The fact that South Carolina people think that they can lose him, lose Juice for good measure, and they're not only going to not miss a beat but get better is kind of nuts. Like, the more I watch Rattler, the more I think South Carolina is going to be worse than people expect them to be this year. He's that good. I think that there's quarterback of the future on the team right now in New Orleans. I do. It's not this year, though. He's not ready yet. And I don't think it's best for him or the team to force him into starting right now. I mean, you got to keep in mind that he has done this only against second and third teamers. And last week in San Francisco, he was abysmal. But the talent and ability and upside is absolutely there. Absolutely, it's there. I think there's a chance for Will Levis to be an adequate quarterback and he and his receivers, if they stay healthy. You like the addition of Tony Pollard. Pollard's a good back. I can't believe Dallas. Anyway, Dallas isn't going to win anything of value until Jerry Jones gets out of the way. But, yeah, I like that. I like some of what the Titans have. I'm trying to give you optimism. Ole Miss needs to stay in bubble wrap until Kentucky. Don't take any unnecessary risks. Jackson Dart should be fined $10,000 every time he takes a hit in the first four games. $10,000. I have a ballpark idea of what he's making this season. $10,000 is fine. $10,000 is a fine that will hopefully get him to slide. Yeah, if he tries to lower his shoulder on Saturday, Lane Kiffin should make him on the field walk into the stadium, go find one of those ATMs that charges you like $8 to get your money out, withdraw $10,000 from his account, go back on the field, and hand it to Lane Kiffin $1. Or no, not Lane Kiffin, because he's got a coach, but next to Lane Kiffin, and hand it to a staffer $1 bill at a time until he gets to $10,000. That should be his punishment for taking a hit against Furman. I'm not. I'm being so serious. If he lowers his shoulder and tries to run over a Furman defender, $10,000 fine. Go get the money right now. $10,000 fine. They wear the powder white in their biggest home game every year. 22 Bama, 23 LSU, 24 Georgia. I agree. How about Georgia Tech throwing up the land shark? Are they an Ole Miss feeder school? Well, there's a chance that they definitely are at the end of this season. We'll see. We will see. Score prediction for Ole Miss Furman. You've got 62-10, maybe 62-14 for Ole Miss. Something like that. They may shut it down a little bit earlier than that. Furman is a good FCS team. And no, I don't think they're actually going to compete to win the game, but I don't think that it'll just be like completely stupid. So maybe they get, because they do run kind of a unique offense. Ole Miss really takes their foot off the gas under Kiffin. Something like that, though. 62-21, something in there. FanDuel has Ole Miss minus 42.5 and a total of 60.5. Take Ole Miss to cover and the over if you have to bet it. I definitely like the over. Speaking of juice, shout out to the homie Juice Kiffin on the injured list. I saw that, poor dog. Lane said it was a knife that the dog cut his. So he's not going to walk on the Walk of Champions on Saturday? It's terrible. That's terrible. Daughter's making plenty. He lives in the same neighborhood as Kiffin. Finds her okay with me. I didn't know that. I don't know where he lives, but I do think I have a pretty good idea of what he's making, and I think $10,000 is just fine. Every time for the first 4 weeks you lower your shoulder into a defender instead of sliding, it's 10 grand. I might send an email to Walker Jones and say, hey, I know we're not scheduled to talk until Thursday, but here's my idea. Sit on it, and we'll talk about it on Thursday. With the Beats Money, Dart can afford a $10,000 fine. You think it's going to be a 66-7 type game? They'll throw the ball all over the yard. I do wonder if Lane's going to engage in some stat padding for Jackson this year. I've thought about that a little bit. Is like, are they going to let him throw for 400 in some of these games when they don't have to, just because he wants to get his guy to New York? Chose the wrong semester for your capstone and intensive French. God, why are you doing that to yourself? Good luck, my friend. Why French? I'm out of total curiosity. Why French? You gonna work for Michelin? That Beats ad was pretty cool, though, wasn't it? For Dart. You know what stinks is because of the radio show schedule, we can't just like preview like the other games together. We'll talk about them all on Sunday, though. But still, I mean, we've got a lot of big ones, man. Florida, Miami, that's a huge, huge freaking football game. LSU, USC, we'll watch some of that together on Sunday. I mean, Texas A&M, Notre Dame is a gigantic football game. It really is. God, just huge. It's crazy to think that if Dart put all his NIL money into the S&P and just withdrew the earnings each year, he would never have to work again. He is, if he wants to be, taken care of for life. Which, the amount of money that Ole Miss is making on the back of Jackson Dart, I think it's a fair trade. But that's just me. When's the boat show? I don't know. I do not know. It will happen. It has to happen. It's just hard with them. So you're not going to be basic and do Spanish. Plus, you met some hot French Canadian chicks in the past. So if your current relationship doesn't go well, you can shoot. Hey, man, French is a language of romance, right? So good luck to you. Good luck to you. Will Furman score on the first play like Mercer did? No, I don't think so. Although I'm bummed that Tyler Huff is gone. Their quarterback, he's at Jacksonville State now. So I don't know what they're going to do there. I have no idea. I don't know much about this Furman team, quite frankly. I mean, I watched them a lot last year. I'll watch them a lot this year too, but I can't tell you much. I know that Huff is gone to Jacksonville State. He was a good quarterback, although kind of lacking throwing the football down the field some. So perfect for Rich Rodriguez. But I don't think they're going to – I think Pete Golding's not going to let that happen this year. Dart needs to throw for 400-plus per game for smashing records. 400-plus per game is that's – let's see. I'm not a math guy. That's 4,800 yards if he goes for 400 a game. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do think he can get to 4,000. Imagine after all this, Furman pulls an upset. With all due respect to my Paladins, who I love dearly, that ain't happening. It's not happening. Although, they have the best helmets in sports or in football. But I don't – tell me what you guys think about this. I got to find it. I don't love what they've done. One, they've added purple that I don't like. And then – oh, gosh, where are they? I got to find it. They also added a black one with just the word DINS on it, and I don't like it at all. June, honey, stop digging, please. I'm having a hard time finding this. Goodness gracious. All right, I can't find it. I will find it in a second, but I don't like what Furman has done to their helmets. I really don't. But I can't find them, so I can't show you. Maybe they're gone. Wouldn't be shocked if Furman controlled the clock, not moving a ton, but Ole Miss will score quick enough. Only Chad Kelly has thrown for 4,000 in a season. I wouldn't be surprised if Jackson does that this year. I think he certainly can. He's got the weapons to do it. I wonder if they're going to let him throw it enough to make that a possibility, but he absolutely has the weapons to do it, 100%. Especially with a healthy Juice Wells, which... I never expected him to be, like, out for the season. Here it is. Finally, I found these freaking helmets so I can show you guys. All right. Okay. Here they are. I don't love this. I mean, it's okay. But, first of all, they're doing this DINS thing, and I don't like that. They're the Paladins, not the DINS. I don't like that, for one. Like, Rebs... That's cool. That makes sense. It sounds fine. DINS? Nah, weird. But that's okay, I guess. But it's going from that white, which looks so good, to they had that sticker. They had a player pass away after a workout. Very, very, very sad story. But like that white helmet is iconic. It is beautiful, and that's okay. This one, the black one with the diamond logo on the one side is okay, but I hate this right here. I don't like it at all. They've taken away what is such a good helmet, and they're going to wear this, hopefully not on Saturday. They need to go all white, because that white is just classic. But anyway, that's me fangirling a little bit over here. Can Dart break Chad Kelly's 4,042 yards? Can he? Yes. What's going on the grill this weekend? Oh, that's a good question. Probably nothing. Paladins are on the grill. I don't think that would taste very good. Cannibalism. Come on. Come on, Pat. It's gross. If their D-line was as good as advertised, it would be hard for Furman to string first downs together. It will. It depends on how engaged Ole Miss is. There's just so very little to take away from games like this that there really is. Furman, as good as they are at their level, are going to be entirely overmatched if Ole Miss is locked in at all. Gives you Duke vibes? Exactly. See, and that's not them. They have their own brand that looks really good, and like people recognize that logo and like it, and then you're just going to do this Duke thing. That's a good one. And yes, Dins is lame. It's extremely lame. A paladin is awesome. Why are you shortening it? How long do I anticipate the starters playing against Furman? Ideally, none of them would play in the third quarter. So take them out at halftime. Purple and black looks flat together. I agree completely. I'm very disappointed to see this. They've ruined what is an otherwise pretty awesome uniform. What is Furman wearing Saturday? I don't know. I would assume all white. Chad also threw 31 touchdowns. Will Dart break that? How close did he get last year? I can't believe I don't know how many touchdowns he threw for last year. 23, so 9 more touchdowns. So he needs 9 more touchdowns and 800 more yards from last year. 9 more touchdowns, 800 more yards. Now, he was really hurt in the Egg Bowl. So, again, only threw for 96 yards in the Egg Bowl. Was really hurt in that game. Only threw 25 passes against Arkansas. Only threw 16 passes at Auburn. Only threw 18 passes against Georgia Tech. Only 23 passes against Mercer. 17 passes is all he threw against Georgia. Remember, he got knocked out of that game. So I do think his passes per game number, like he had 358 attempts last year. I think that'll go up rather significantly. So that'll help. That'll help a lot. So can he get 8 more touchdowns and 800 more yards? I think so, because I do think his passes per game numbers are going to go way up. Again, only 26 passes in the Egg Bowl, 17 against Georgia, 16 against Auburn, 25 against Arkansas, 18 against Georgia Tech, 23 against Mercer. I think that'll go up. What's a paladin? It's a knight. It's here. I'll give you the actual denotation. I believe it's like okay. So I was trying to remember. There's 12 paladins. So the paladins, also called the 12 peers, are 12 legendary knights, the foremost members of Charlemagne's court in the 8th century. So there you go. They are an exclusive club of 12 knights. Season it with seasoning, Pat, absolutely. Ran for 500 yards and 10 touchdowns. This is Chad Kelly. Ran for 500 yards and 10 touchdowns, 41 total touchdowns in 2015. Jackson had 8 touchdowns last year. Pals would be better. You're crazy. What? No, it wasn't. No, they just don't need to shorten it at all. Chad Kelly might be the most top-to-bottom talented quarterback in Ole Miss history. I mean, that season that he had, I think only Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel have had better statistical – wait, no. No, I think it was at the time only Johnny Manziel had a better statistical season than Chad Kelly at the time. It's a shame that his head is screwed on incorrectly, because talent-wise, he was unbelievable. had the offensive line been better, he'd had either beaten or gotten close to those records. Absolutely. And he played hurt a lot last year. Which backup will be first? I think Walker Howard will come in first. Harris is healthy. Add Juice. Priestcorn is healthy. Add Daquan Wright. Could be possible easily. Yeah. You don't think he will break anything just because Kelly was in a freeze offense? Hey, I'll take Kiffin's offense over Freeze's any day, though. How many games are they going to play if he gets 15-plus? Manning's all-time touchdown record will be in jeopardy. They think they're playing in 16. How many SEC quarterbacks have more than 4,500 total yards in a season? Let's find out. Let's find out. So, Joe Burrow had 56-71. Bryce Young had 48-72. Will Rogers had 47-39. Mac Jones, 4,500. Kyle Trask, 4,300. Tim Couch, almost 4,300. Stetson Bennett, 4,100. Johnny Manziel, 4,100. Chad Kelly, 40-42. But that's not total yards. That's just passing yards. Let's see. What about total yards? Can I find total yards quickly without stringing you guys along? Total yards. There we go. So let's see. What were you looking for? 4,500 total yards. Let's see. There's only eight. So Mac Jones, Chad Kelly, Will Rogers, Bryce Young, Johnny Manziel, Jaden Daniels, Johnny Manziel, Joe Burrow. Actually, only seven because Manziel shows up twice. There you go. Keep in mind the 2016 team that went 5-7 beat Georgia by 31 earlier in the season. Yeah, that was Kirby's first year, though. Georgia's schedule almost guarantees a loss at Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Texas. If they don't lose, it's time to start talking about Kirby being Saban-esque. I agree. Even if they lose one of those and win another championship, Saban, I mean, he only went undefeated just a couple of times here. I'm pulling it up just to be exact for you. But Nick Saban went undefeated at Alabama twice. He went undefeated twice. So, Kiffin's offense is so much more balanced, not necessary to break records. I agree. You think Dart will get under 40-42, but over 31 passing touchdowns? It's not a bad thought there. The record should have stayed regular season only. You're looking at stats for a different number of games. Absolutely, and just wait until the new playoff factors in. Good day from Australia. Good day, Michael. Glad to see you, man. Give us each conference champion, prediction, and national champion. Now do the NFL. I'll do the NFL before that season starts. I'll stick with college. So Georgia's winning the SEC. Ohio State's winning the Big Ten. I think Clemson's winning the ACC. Wait a minute. That's not what I officially wrote down. I just said Ohio State out of habit. Georgia, Oregon, Clemson, Utah are my Power Four conference champions. Georgia and Oregon for the national championship. Georgia winning the national championship are my official predictions. I very much hope to be wrong. But anyway, thoughts on the talk that college football moves a week? Oh, yeah. I actually like that idea. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Ross Dellinger reported that college football is considering moving week zero to week one. No. Considering moving week one to where week zero is. And the goal is to compete as little as possible with the NFL, that they are having such a hard time trying to avoid the NFL. And now the NFL is taking Thanksgiving, and now they're taking Good Friday, and now they're taking Christmas, and they're taking whatever they want because it's the NFL and they can do that. And competing against the NFL is a losing effort always. And so moving the season start up a week would have one less week where they're having to compete against the NFL. It's interesting, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but they're talking about it. Really hope Ole Miss doesn't play Memphis in the first round of the playoffs. I think you should hope they play Memphis, because that would be it at your stadium, and you would very likely win. Got A&M beating Notre Dame this weekend. I do as well. Hope the good season results in cleaning out the top 10 in-state recruits this year. I don't think they will ever get 10 of the top 10. There are not like politician politics, but there's too many politics at play for that to happen. Will Ole Miss be running back by committee? I don't think so initially. I do expect Bentley to get more carries ultimately than the rest. Honestly, Connor, I don't know why college football is doing the international game. I understand why the NFL is. I mean, it's all a marketing deal. They're trying to grow football, and the international audience is quite good. That's why the NFL keeps going back, and that's why they're expanding it. The NFL's doing a Brazil game this year. They're doing Germany and England and Ireland. There's fans in these places, and maybe college football's just kind of taking a page out of that playbook, expanding the audience. But anyway, I got to run. I've got to run. This has been awesome, though. Again, this week, we will not be live on Tuesday or Thursday, but I will be posting a video for you on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. So Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you will get videos not live, but they will get published at about 8 o'clock. We will be live after the game on Saturday, so whenever the game ends. We might go live a little bit before the game ends, but definitely post-game. At latest, immediately after the game ends, and then Sunday, regular time, 8 o'clock, just talking about the weekend that was in college football. So Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a lot of good stuff coming your way. Football's back, and I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.